This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here comes the boom. That's right. Thanks, Eddie, very much. On the other side of the glass, 6 o'clock right here, coming to you from the Investors Bank Studios at WFN. And good morning, everybody. Good morning to you, Jerry.
Well, good morning, Boomer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, you know, and there's an amazing thing going on in Major League Baseball right now, and it's happening in the American League East, and it's two teams that are not clutching one way or the other, and that's the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees, another, you know, good solid win last night, and CC Sabathia, if I would have told you he was going to be 12-5 this year, would you have taken
it
at the beginning of the year?
No, you would have taken it. I would not have believed it.
Right, you would not have believed it. And last night was interesting the way the game started with the Twins bunting all over the place. You know, CC has basically opened Pandora's box as far as I'm concerned in that regard. But the Red Sox will not give an inch either. The Red Sox win a 1-0 game down in Baltimore, and these two teams are just kind of going on parallel lines with each other. And I like what Joe Girardi said yesterday. You know, we're going to pitch Severino, and we're going to pitch him against the Twins. Why? Because, number one, he wants to get him on the mound again. And number two, he wants to give him three starts. And number three, Joe Girardi said it. Hey, we're trying to win the division.
And he's right.
He's exactly right. Now, I thought it was pretty good, and I said this yesterday in regards to Joe Girardi, about not pitching Severino. And that whole thing was about, you know, they didn't want to show Severino to the Twins. They don't want to have a fresh feel about who he is on the mound. But then again, on the other side of that, wouldn't you want Severino on the mound so he knows who he's pitching to?
Yeah, I think that goes both ways. To me, the Twins are, you know, they're a good young lineup, but they're not a great team. Their pitching is not great by any stretch. Santana's had a good season. Berrios, last night I was expecting more from him.
Thank you,
he
Al.
Had like,
look at you.
I mean, I get nothing. He must have had...
You didn't get anything. You didn't give him anything. Why
I got out? Nothing. That's fine. All good. I think he had 90 pitches through four innings, and he was a disaster, and he's supposed to be one of their top line guys.
Well, so at the end of the day, the Yankees hitters made him throw that many pitches.
I suppose. But he had a couple of 3-1 counts. He's walking guy. But whatever. You're right.
You got to look. When you're in that batter's box, Jerry, you know what you have to do. If you don't swing at bad pitches,
you
make that guy work on the mound. That's exactly what the Yanks did last night.
That is true. Although Brian Dozier came out, bam, first things, base hit up the middle of CeCe. That said.
Well, that's the other side.
Here's the thing about both these teams. You can make the case, watching the Yankees and the Red Sox, that they both are having these magical type seasons, and they both deserve to be division champions. I don't know, and I'm sure you watch.
No, Jerry,
there's
only one division champion.
There's only one division champion.
You can't have two division champions. There's only one, Jerry.
Well, they could share, and then they could play.
They're not going to share anything.
No, they could tie, and then they could play
that
for
would
the
suck.
Championship.
You don't want that.
You don't, but the Yankees, I believe, would have the home field in that situation, and I think the Yankees would sign up for that now.
Yeah,
that
and who would be on the mound for that game?
Severino, I would certainly think, unless you use him
Then you
got to
be careful, because if you lose that game, then you have one game playing with a wild card game, what do you do?
There's a lot in play. Here's what I know about the Red Sox.
Yes.
They win a game last night in Baltimore, 1-0, where Andrew Benintendi throws a runner, I think it was Manny Machado, out at home plate to preserve a scoreless game. You've got Jackie Bradley Jr. going over the wall in center field to take a home run away from Chris Davis. And then how do they score their run? An infield single, a walk, and a wild pitch. I mean, if you want to talk about a team of, and I don't usually believe in this stuff, a team of destiny, I mean, if that's not them, the problem is I then look at the Yankees. And the Yankees right now are a team, to me, that has no business ever losing.
Well, the Yankees are playing their best baseball of the season, that's for sure. I don't care. You could talk about the beginning of the year and all that other stuff. Plus, they're also getting healthy now. They're starting to get guys back. And Joe Girardi's going to have, some kind of dealing with some guys because he's got too many of the same guy. He's got Headley. He's got Frazier. He's got Bird now. He's got Holiday.
Yep.
And all those guys want to play. And they're all being really good teammates. They're all saying the right thing. They're all acting the right way.
They're winning.
And they are winning. So it's hard to argue with whatever Joe is doing and however he's handling his lineup. and whether or not he takes a guy out of the game. So last night, they score runs. So you're not going to remove CC Sabathia. You're going to let him go full six innings, let him go get his win, and everybody's happy today.
Now, here's the dynamic part about the Yankees. I mean, it's been I am not a Yankee fan, but it really has been fun watching them.
You know, by the way, just so you know something, you don't always have to qualify everything by saying you're not a Yankee fan. We know that. You and I are not Yankee fans, but I will say this.
I think you do, because it goes to show how much fun they've been to watch.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If you're a Yankee fan, hey, I'm a Yankee, this is great. If you're not, and I still have that feeling, like I want to watch them on a daily basis, that's a little weird to me, but that's how good they've been. And, you know, the night before, you've got Betances can't get anybody out. You go to Chapman, and then you look last night, you've got David Robertson ready to go. You've got Chad Green. They're so deep in the bullpen that... Remember the Mets said that? We believe in, what was it, seven inning games, or eight, whatever. I mean, the Yankees can believe in 5-inning games.
The Mets do so many stupid things, it's not even funny.
I agree.
And by the way, you know, you're in the power chair, and you've been in the power chair for a while now.
Yeah.
You have to watch the Yankees. You have to. I mean, I have to watch the Yankees. I have to watch every game now.
But it's fun to watch them now.
And the worst thing about it is even when there's a rain delay, you gotta stay up. But I had such a long day yesterday because of doing Monday Night Football and then doing this and then doing Showtime. And then trying to get a nap before the Yankee game, and the Yankee game's delayed. And then I try to get another nap, and then the Yankee game finally kicks in, and then I got to go to bed, and then I wake up at 2 o'clock. And it's just, you know, it's a nuts, crazy.
I know. Play the violins. Eddie, I didn't get a nap.
It's crazy. Crazy.
No nap. I was actually with a bunch of 14-year-olds playing dodgeball at 8 o'clock last night. No nap for me.
Look at you. Look at you. Who's going for dad of the year?
You are. I mean, it's not. I don't have all the kids.
You know, then the other thing that happens yesterday is Eli Manning and Ben McAdoo come out, and they have to come out after Monday night's debacle, and they have to discuss everything that was discussed right after the game. And Eli Manning did what you expect Eli Manning to do. Just basically say all the right things, be the leader that he's always been. He's never going to change, nor would you ever want him to change, because it's too late to change a guy now that has had success doing what he's doing. And he basically said on Mike's show, hey, bottom line, you know, I can be yelled at. I can handle it. I can take the coaching. And if you're playing poorly and you're not scoring touchdowns, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, you're going to get criticized. And that's what we sign up for. That's what we get paid for. And that's part of the whole business of playing quarterback in the NFL. And then on the other side of it, Ben McAdoo is now talking about possibly giving up play calling duties. And he also is supporting, staunchly I might add, left tackle Ereck Flowers.
Yes.
And the reason he's doing that is because there is no alternative. It's not like they have a stable full of guys over there that they could just throw out there and make into your starting left tackle, that they still believe in the kid, that they still want to give the kid ample opportunity. They're going to try to help him in passing situations for sure. They need to try to run the ball more effectively if they can. That will take some of the pressure off of him. So a lot that was said yesterday from the Giants and from their head coach and their quarterback.
Well, he's saying, and he's towing the company line, and that's all great, but what has shown you that they have the ability to do any of that?
Well, if you remember a few years back when they did go to the Super Bowl, they gave up 85 or 88 points in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Didn't they lose to the Packers like 40-something?
It was the Redskins. Yeah, they went down to the Redskins and got embarrassed down there. And that was Steve Spagnuolo was here, and he turned things around in the beginning of that season. So, all right, so we're basically 1/8 through the season.
Yep.
Everybody is either overreacting to their 2-0 starts or panicking with their 0-2 starts. And the question is, are the Giants good enough to dig themselves out of this? I would just say, with the problems that they've had offensively, if Odell Beckham Jr. could be 100%, maybe, just maybe, they can get themselves out of this. Because I do think their defense is still good enough to keep them in pretty much every game that they play, assuming that the Giants don't turn the football over and they play smarter football as opposed to taking penalties at the wrong time or turning the ball over at the wrong time like they did Monday night. The
problem is, it seems like the defense has to play a perfect game right now, and you're out to an 0-2 start. They're lucky that the other three teams are 1-1. So, I mean, they're right there. It's not that big a deal. But, you know, you've lost now to the Cowboys inside your division, and you've lost to the Lions at home inside the conference, and here you go now on the road for a division game this week. If they lose Sunday, and you know what? It's three games, and you'd never write a team off after three games. You can't. But those are three damning losses all within the division and the conference that really hurt you going forward. Really hurt you, because it kills you for tiebreaker scenarios. And the Eagles, it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch on Sunday. And I do not see how this offensive line, all of a sudden, like we're going to flip a switch, Now we can run the ball.
And I would just say that even though Eli came out and said all the right things, because that's what Eli does and that's what a leader does, don't think for a minute that he's not steaming inside. Don't think for a minute that he's probably talking to his brother about some of the problems that they have, either calling plays or blocking for him, because people in Eli's life are going to be telling Eli that he's getting hammered. He's getting hammered. Uh-huh. He's getting hammered that, you know, they're not supporting you and all this other crap. So know internally that while it sounds good on the outside, internally I'm sure that there is quite a few moments of tension in that locker room and also in those meeting rooms and between the coaching staff and the players. And last night on Inside the NFL, we were talking about these 0-2 teams and what that's like and what you're dealing with. And you're dealing with a lot of pointing of fingers. The offense to the defense to the offense. Remember this happened with the Jets last year. And it's getting ready to happen out in Seattle, I guarantee you. Think about this for a second.
And they won Sunday.
They won, but their offense has been brutal. I mean, you think the Giants' offense has been brutal. Them, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, all these offenses have been horrendous. They, for whatever reason, it's either pressure on the quarterback, offensive game planning and scheming, the systems that they're running, the older quarterback struggling, like Eli, like Carson Palmer. Guys like that, Andy Dalton struggling, and these people now all of a sudden in the media that cover these teams are smart. They know where to go to find a little bit of a rub so they can write about it.
More than that, the national media is starting to hone in on it as well.
So think about this. At the beginning of the year, when the league's season started way back when in March, I believe Seattle had a meeting with Colin Kaepernick, and they had a meeting with him. They wanted to check him out, see whether or not he was going to fit their team. And believe you me, the Richard Shermans of the world, the Michael Bennetts of the world would love to have Colin Kaepernick on that team. There's a reason why they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick. Now, there were all these reports that they weren't overly impressed with his wanting to play at that particular time. He probably still thought of himself as a starter before the season started, and he could probably go, get a nice paycheck from another team at that point where they already had Russell Wilson. Imagine 2 games into the season, and Seattle's offense looking the way that it's looking, and Colin Kaepernick were on that team.
Yeah, but
what do you think the politics, the internal dynamics of that team would have turned into? And this goes back to what Phil Simms was saying earlier this season about why teams would be very reticent to sign Colin Kaepernick because of his popularity with his teammates and because if something went wrong with the starting quarterback that a team has a lot invested in, much like Seattle does with Russell Wilson, what does that do to the internal dynamic of that locker room?
You mean Russell Wilson hasn't built up enough equity inside that locker room having won the way they have? They're ready to turn their back on Russell Wilson?
You and I obviously hold Russell Wilson in very high esteem. We're not in the locker room with him every day.
And we're not in Seattle.
We didn't lose the Super Bowl on an interception that they keep talking about out there, mm-hmm. when they should have said they'd give it to Marshawn Lynch. And instead, you hear rumblings about how supposedly the Seattle coaching staff wanted Russell Wilson to be the hero. That's why they called that play. This is the mind-numbing thought process of some players where it makes no sense whatsoever. So if you could just put yourself in that locker room in that situation and with some of those thoughts and just how insecure some of those thoughts can be, imagine if they had Colin Kaepernick in that locker room.
I guess.
They would not be pretty right now.
But this is what I don't get. I would look at Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson as similar type of quarterbacks, guys that can throw it a little bit, they can run it, which is what Russell Wilson, why he's so difficult. Get out of the pocket. He's – honestly,
well,
what the Giants need
you
with this
also
type of
have
offensive
you
line.
Have you have certain defensive players in Cincinnati basically sure. saying to the media, we need Colin Kaepernick as our quarterback because our starting quarterback that has taken us to the playoffs pretty much 5 out of the last 6 years and has been a big part of the success of our offense and has been a really good guy, a really good teammate, has never called us out when we snap on a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers and lose a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Now we need Colin Kaepernick because our quarterback can't do it anymore. So imagine that in that locker room.
No, it's brutal.
But this is the world we live in. This is what the NFL is all about.
It shouldn't be that.
I mean, the wonder why, and I'll say this, and I'd say this again, I said it last week, there's no wonder why that the Cincinnati Bengals have not won a playoff game with the current group of players, because the current group of players obviously don't have each other's back.
Why is that not falling Marvin Lewis? Why does he not get this group together and say, guys, shut up?
Marvin Lewis is a great human being. Marvin Lewis is a really good NFL coach. Marvin Lewis loves his players. Right. Marvin Lewis thinks that his players in his locker room, for the most part, are a bunch of really nice guys. That's why they want some guys with a little edge to them to kind of balance the team and the psyche of the team out. You know, when you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think of guys with edge, right?
Sure.
You think of the Baltimore Ravens, guys with edge.
Yes.
You don't think that of the Cincinnati Bengals. You think, hey, a bunch of good guys, a bunch of nice players, but you don't think of a team with edge. Now, the edge guys
Hold on a second.
Well, the edge guys are like Vontaze Burfict and guys like Adam Jones. But they'll also tell you, like Marvin will tell you, Adam's made some mistakes in his life, yes, but off the field, as a teammate, he's like one of the greatest guys in the world. Everybody loves the guy. He's a nice guy. He wants guys with edge, and right now that team has no edge whatsoever, and it's been pushed around twice, and that's why there are rumblings coming out of the defensive side of the locker room in favor of having Colin Kaepernick come in there and learn an offense in like 2 days and go win a football game for him.
And they've changed, and they're changing coordinators, so that seems a disaster.
Like, right now it is, yes.
And they're not signing Colin Kaepernick today to play
Sunday. No, they're
Sunday.
Not. They're not.
They might not sign him at all.
But again, think of the mindset there.
The mindset is you've got a fractured team.
Yes.
And Marvin Lewis is basically probably coaching his last games there.
Well, and the other aspect of the mindset is that when you're losing, especially in the NFL, because every game means so much and we discuss each game for so long, like we're doing with the Giants on Monday night, we're still talking about it, and we're still going to talk about it until they, you know, take the field Sunday against the Eagles. You know, there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of people that want answers. Fans want answers. Media wants answers. Social media are people are attacking players in these cities. Just ask anybody. Ask Eric Flowers.
I'm sure.
I don't even know if he's on Twitter, but I
told
imagine
you I feel bad for him.
I feel bad for him too. He's a young kid, and he's trying to find his way. And unfortunately, in the biggest of games, he's had two really bad games.
You don't even have to look at social media. Pick up a newspaper. I mean, he's number one right now.
I will say that, yes, when I played, the newspaper was big. It was really big. And maybe to some people today it still is big, but it's really the social media stuff, the blog stuff, all the different, you know, the PFF sites, the Pro Football Focus sites, right, the Pro Football Talk sites, all the different areas, the Bleacher Reports of the world, and everybody else that has their own opinions about those players. So they're out there everywhere, and people are regurgitating those stories over and over and over again. And if you're a young player like Eric Flowers, I mean, it could be really damning.
Yeah.
How old is he?
23?
23 years old.
I mean, that's tough. But in a way, you understand it. You know, fans are pissed off. They are. This team was supposed to be, in most Giant fans' eyes, this was a team that was supposed to challenge for a Super Bowl. Win the division, challenge for a Super Bowl. And this comes back to what Craig's always talked, and we joked about the humanization of you, right? That was always the big joke.
Yeah.
It's true. Fans don't look at you guys as human beings. You're basically figures on the Madden video game, and it's... And you meet them in person. Ah, I was just joking. We deal with it once in a while. Fans don't think of you guys as people. We don't. Hmm. Right, wrong, or indifferent, we don't.
You know,
I ran into
Landon Collins yesterday at CBS, and he's a human being.
You're all human beings, but fans don't look. You guys are very well-paid professional athletes. Right. You should be able to deal with it because of your paycheck.
I said, Landon, how you doing? He goes, I'm good. It's fine.
He didn't do anything wrong the other night.
Yeah, but you know, you lose. You win together, you lose together. That's the message that every coach would like to give his team. But
you played with guys that went out and had two interceptions defensively. You didn't play so well, and you lost 17-10. That guy had a decent night's sleep.
There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
Even Phil Simms said, if I'm going to lose a game and I throw for 513, then so be it.
Right.
I'm happy.
That's like Al with our softball games. We might have lost 7-6, but he was 3-for-3 with three singles. Did my job.
Well,
and you know that's true.
Well, I know that didn't happen this season. I know that for a fact.
Well, it could have if he didn't get injured.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Now, I have a question for you.
Me, yes.
Now that Big Mike has basically said he is not coming back.
Here I come. No.
Sorry, no thank you.
No more FAM. Mike announced yesterday on his show that he will be honoring his retirement date of December 15th. And with that being said, I figured, okay, we'll come in this morning, see how everybody's doing, see what the level of
here I come to save the day
morale is and all that
other
stuff. Okay, we got you. And I look at Jerry, and he's got this really nice shirt on, and I'm thinking, my man's got some meeting with the bigwigs.
I'm thinking
that you have some sort of meeting going on.
I have no meeting with anybody.
Are you sure you don't have a meeting going on?
I'm pretty sure.
You just decided to wear an ironed
shirt.
Button-down collared shirt.
Actually, I did. Yes, Is that okay with you? I don't need you putting that on Twitter either, that I have a meeting after the
show.
You
sure? Maybe you do.
I do not. Now, I might.
Do you want to tell us something that we don't know?
But I do not today.
I might in the future. You see that?
Oh, you see that? He's leaving the door open now.
Who knows?
So maybe this is a meeting to call for a meeting.
No, there's no.
I would like to set up a meeting.
I promise you, I do not have a meeting. So you can all have your little theories.
I don't know about you, Jerry.
I do not have a meeting.
So you thought, I want to be comfortable today. I'll wear this stiff button down.
Why is it stiff?
It was very stiff. You're stiff.
Very stiff.
All right, fine. Steve. Everybody's stiff.
All right, CeeLo. Speaking of stiff.
Brought to you by Infinity of Massapequa. Appreciate that. Family owned and operated since their inception in 1989. Shop 24/7 at infinityofmassapequa.com. I'm going to start with the Giants because they are all the rage right now. Ben McAdoo conference call yesterday. What's the message after reviewing the loss to the Lions?
No, we're not going to panic. We're not the first good team to start 0-2.
But time is ticking quickly. Road game against the Eagles on the way. Everyone wants to know about Ereck Flowers. Will he remain the starting left tackle?
Absolutely. Ereck is a young player. He did some good things in the ball game yesterday. He gets singled out, and that's the way it goes in this league.
I know it's kind of coach speak, but what exactly are the good things he did in the
ballgame? Well, the problem is there were two major sacks that he gave up, and Ziggy Ansah basically either tore through him or ran around him.
Yeah.
And those things are obvious for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
And every Giant fan in passing situations is watching him. And it's unfortunate, but that's the life you lead. What I would do if I were the Giants, I would call up Anthony Munoz and tell him to come in for a couple weeks just to work with the Ereck Flowers and talk about footwork and talk about body, body posture and things of that nature, and how to make sure you put yourself in a good situation not to allow what Ziggy Ansah did to you. But it's probably too late for that right now.
Perhaps you could facilitate that for the Giants.
Well, I've already put it out there, so there it is.
There you go. McAdoo did say they will make some changes this week to try and jumpstart things. Did not rule out giving up his play-calling duties. We know he was critical of Eli Manning following the game Monday night, more so about that fourth down delay of game. Either way, the veteran quarterback certainly understands any heat coming his way right now.
You lose games, you only score 10 points. You deserve some criticism.
And that was Eli with Mike here on the Fan yesterday.
You got a paid spot. You call in, but you do it from your Bluetooth in
the
your
speakerphone.
Car.
Speakerphone, yeah.
Well, what do you want him to do it from?
I mean, maybe from a hard line so it actually sounds good. I used to do it from a hard line.
Who owns a hard line anymore? You still have a phone in your house?
Yes.
I have a hard line.
Al, you have a phone in your house?
I do not.
No, of course you don't. Most don't. It's 2017.
Mm. All right. Well, I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
It comes with a lot of the packages,
Yeah.
Does it mean you use
rope
it, though?
It in there. Well, right. You said have it or use it. That's two different stories.
I have it part of the package you're talking about. I do not have a phone plugged into it, though.
Well, I have poor cell phone reception where I live, so the hard line comes in handy.
God, exactly.
All right?
Not everybody lives in
tough guy. I think you guys are out of touch. That's all.
No, obviously I have a cell phone, but, I got the hard line as well.
Communicates now.
You never know.
Text and cell phones.
Mm.
Continue.
All right. You also had the Jets waving return man Khalif Raymond after he muffed that punt in Sunday's loss to the Raiders. With that out of the way, we turn our attention out of the Yankees, who really opened up some nice breathing room with another win over the Twins.
Now here's the 1-2. Hit on the ground at first. And it's booted by Maurer. How do you like that? Everyone is safe.
John Sterling on the fan. Believe it or not, that was
two out.
That was like the most excited he got on the calls last night.
Even
was the
with
error.
Gardner and Ellsbury, what they did, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
Joe Maurer, I think he's like the Don Mattingly of the Twins, right? He's a guy that he's got to make that play, man.
Yes. Well, obviously, catcher turned first baseman. But maybe John, as you said, is just so used to the Yankees pounding the Twins time after time.
By the way, I say the Don Mattingly of the Twins is that, he's kind of borderline Hall of Famer,
yes.
Right?
And injuries have impacted his career, certainly. So that gave the Yanks a 4-2 lead in the fifth on their way to a 5-2 victory over Minnesota at the stadium. Three hits apiece for Brett Gardner and Starlin Castro. They combined to drive in three of the five runs. Aaron Judge, a couple of hits and a sack fly.
Here's
to put
why
the
you
Yanks
can't
ahead.
Take the Twins seriously. Mm-hmm. How about we talk about Chad Green and Aroldis Chapman and Dellin Betances and David Robertson. How about Buddy Boshers? Who the hell is Buddy Boshers? Right? All right, Dylan G. All right, he comes out of the bullpen, and this name I love, Bushnitz. Well, who are they? Come on.
Jerry, they're guys making their, and then they're
professionals.
In the majors.
They're professionals.
Jerry.
And Boshers.
Who are you to question who they are?
I'm a guy
who
watching
is the guy
a team.
Wearing a stiff shirt on the Homer show in the morning over there on CBS Sports?
I'm a guy watching a team that's got a good lineup, and they're not going anywhere.
All right.
That's what I am.
Aroldis Chapman
you do have a lot of starch in that collar, by the way.
Okay, you have starch on your head. What do you want from me?
Get that fresh off the dry cleaners.
You know, it's amazing, as we get closer to the end of the week, the more comfortable he gets in the power chair.
I'm sorry.
He's breathing a lot of fire.
I know what he's
way.
Doing now. He knows that the big uppity muckety mucks are listening.
No,
he wants to show that he has an opinion.
I think he looks at it this way. It's like, you know, he's got nothing to lose, so he can show he's got an opinion, but
right
he also
here.
Knows. Right, yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to do anything.
Throw it out there, Jerry. Just throw it out there. See what happens. See what sticks. You got nothing to lose.
Rawlis Chapman's 28
saves. You guys are after each other here too. As the week has gone on, I noticed a little snippiness between the two of you.
Gotta have a little edginess, you know.
I'm looking for edge.
It'll wake people up.
I'm looking for like that D'Angelo kid. I need a little edge on my team.
You know what Jerry was doing last night?
What?
Tell him, Jerry.
He was playing dodgeball.
I told him
he's got little kids pegging each other with dodgeballs.
I like it.
By the way, that was a little much.
What do you mean?
You got like kids 5 feet away from one another. It's railing on one.
I hope you did that. Did you play?
No, I didn't play. I'm running the thing.
Oh, you're running the thing.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. Every ball that's being thrown, I'm sitting there. Don't break your nose. Please don't break your face.
It was not a good idea. You know, there are going to be lawyers out there. They're just going to entangle you into
insurance.
Some sort of liability lawsuit.
We have insurance. That's
have
all
you
good.
Been wronged by a coach?
Or a teacher, as he
or
calls
teacher?
Them?
No.
Yes.
No.
Sue
it'll
his
be
ass.
Fine. The kids had a blast. It just got a little out of control.
The kids had a blast. The parents watching it, maybe not so much. But then again, they signed them up for it.
Yeah,
so,
maybe next time I'll come over there and play, and I'll show a few of those kids what it's all about.
They won't come back after that.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, go ahead.
So, Aroldis Chapman had the save. The Yanks got three scoreless out of the bullpen in relief of C.C. Sabathia. Big from him. He limited the damage after the Twins loaded the bases with no one out in the first. Went on to pitch six innings to pick up his 12th win.
Luckily, my stuff was pretty good coming out of the bullpen because I had to make some pitches. You know, everything kind of happened so quick.
Single, bunt single, bunt single to start it, but he got a double play to water down that Twins rally. Meantime, the Red Sox won again in extra innings again, 1-0 over the Orioles in 11.
18-4 now, right, in extra innings?
That sounds right.
I think it's
did we say 11 and 4.
And 4
yesterday or
no,
16
I
and 4?
I thought it was 17 and 4.
All right. Well, 17 and 4. Yes,
way
anyway.
Way to be on your mark, guys.
Yeah, what the hell is it?
Is it 18 and 4? Is it 17 and 4?
Jerry seems pretty confident.
What is it?
18 and 4.
He's on top of it.
All right,
so we'll give him that. The Yanks now are 6 clear of Minnesota in the wild card race, but still 3 back of Boston atop the AL East. Joe Girardi says stay the course.
Let's pay attention to what we do, and I like the way we're playing, and I think that's important, and we need to continue to play that way, and let's see what happens.
And with
that
in mind,
that's a good message there by a good manager.
That is the message.
Yes.
They will start Luis Severino this afternoon instead of Masahiro Tanaka.
It allows for him to start 3 more times if needed.
And it lines him up for the final Sunday of the regular season, should the division be in play. If not, he would then go in the wild card game the following night. Severino opposed by old friend Bartolo Colon today. We'll have pregame on the fan at 12:25. I know the season is basically over for the Mets, and what more is there to say, but they keep finding new ways to lose.
1-1, peg deep in the air, left field, got a shot to go and end the game. It is gone. It's in the bullpen, and Realmuto walks it off.
Josh Lewin, WOR, JT Realmuto with his 17th. In the bottom of the 10th, Marlins come back to win 5-4. A.J. Ramos blows his first save as a Met and does so against his former team. He allowed 5 hits, a walk, and 3 runs in just 2/3 of an inning.
Harvey-like.
Yeah, Paul Sewald got them out of the 9th, then he gave up the game winner in the 10th. And oh, by the way, prized rookie Ahmed Rosario out of the lineup.
How about
again.
This, Boomer?
He's been violently ill since they got to Miami on Sunday night.
So this poor kid comes up on a team that can't keep anybody healthy. He has a finger issue, misses 4, 5, 6 games, whatever it was. Has a stomach issue, misses a couple of games. And now he's so sick, they can't even get him to the ballpark.
Yeah,
I had to go to the hospital.
Obviously ate something wrong, it sounds like, or he has a stomach flu or something like that.
Terry Collins said he thinks it's worse than the stomach flu.
So and
he
had some sort of like viral
he had a stomach bug back in July when he was at AAA in Las Vegas that knocked him out of the lineup a couple times. This one, they actually sent him to the hospital on Monday
just
night.
Awful.
So
I hope it's something that will run its course and doesn't something that sticks around. I mean, it's just I feel bad for that kid because, you know, this is his dream. This is what he wants.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's too bad. I mean, Jose Reyes was 4-for-5 last night and hit another
home run.
Oh, by the way, game.
Yes, he did. Also of note, speaking of home runs, baseball setting a new record, 5,694 of them on the season. And the record breaker was blasted by Alex Gordon of the Royals, who coincidentally is having just a horrendous year in Kansas City. They lost that game to the Blue Jays.
Let's go to Anthony in Belleville.
All
Anthony,
right.
What's happening, brother?
Boomer, Recco, and CeeLo, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. What do you got there, kid?
Hey, we could see Jerry Recco's got the old big interview today.
Yeah.
So we definitely could tell that CeeLo does not.
Yeah, he's got a yellow. I don't know what guy. I think it's a yellow shirt. What is
neon
that?
Neon green, maybe?
Is it green or yellow?
Know.
Yeah, he does not have an interview. That's for sure.
I was out of sweatshirts to wear today.
Does it have the little alligator there on the left hand?
Got an eagle.
It's an eagle.
Yeah.
That's an American Eagle shirt is what he got. Thanks, Anthony, for noticing all that.
Oh, boy. This is an awkward transition, but we'll end on this. Brian Boyle, former Ranger, now with the Devils, diagnosed with a treatable form of leukemia.
He's got CML, which is known as chronic myeloid leukemia, and yes, you can treat it.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate for Brian, or the Boiler, as they call him in hockey parlance. But Jason Blake for the Islanders had this back in 2007, I believe, and lasted another 6 years to play in his NHL career. And, you know, Brian is like... like every other hockey player, he'll take it in stride, and I guarantee you, you will see him in a Devil's uniform. You watch.
He said he's
hoping to start.
You watch.
Is that possible?
He's hoping to start the regular season.
These hockey players, they're crazy, they're nuts, and that's the kind of attitude you have to have to deal with something like this. And it's treatable with treatments and drugs and all that other stuff. And Jason Blake was proof of that. And I don't necessarily know that Brian knew this yesterday and then found out about it. And then told Fred Shiro over there, their general manager, he wants a contract extension. So I do like the sense of humor that Brian brought to this whole thing. Our prayers are with him. And certainly, if there's anybody that can overcome something like this, it is a hockey player.
You know what you love about the attitude, too? He said, don't worry about the condition. When I'm out there, there's no excuses. If I suck, it's because I suck.
Yes,
it's not because of anything else.
Well, he basically said, look, I didn't even know I had it because I feel fine. And they'll treat it now, and hopefully he can resume his career. And he's got a 2-year deal with the Devils, and he'll be a big reason why the Devils would be significantly better this year than they were last year because of the things that he brings to that team. So prayers are with him, and I certainly expect that he'll play this year.
Hope for the best, absolutely.
Yes.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
You bastards, when I make the mistake and people tweet Al,
yeah.
Eddie very quickly runs back, gets it, and we play it all morning.
Yes,
I unlike you guys,
yes.
Let it go. I heard the Brett Favre thing.
My bad.
You should just have said
Aaron
Rodgers.
Because as you went on,
it's okay, because it drives the people on Twitter crazy, but that's okay.
That's all good. That's fun. No,
look,
that's...
you're wearing the big shirt today in the power chair. You could actually correct me if you'd like.
That's fine. The moment was gone. We're all good.
Okay.
Right? It's like Viagra. When the moment hits you or strikes, the moment was gone. So,
have you ever taken a Viagra pill?
No, I have not.
Al,
never.
About you?
I've not, no.
No. Eddie, you have?
No, I have not.
I would be afraid if you took it, the effects wouldn't wear away.
You don't think so?
No, I'd be worried that they would just stay, it would
all
stay the way it is.
Would rush from your head.
Right, exactly.
Boner.
All right, I got it.
Yeah, okay.
No, I wanted to hit you with something serious football related because I think it's very cool, and I know we have a lot of football calls up. Did you see the story of Charles Tillman?
Yes.
Becoming or training to become an FBI agent?
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
How cool is that?
Good. You know, he actually could be a TV guy if he really wanted to be. He's got a great personality. And, but now he'd rather go do that, and he's in training for that. I think it's pretty good, yeah.
And I saw his dad's a sergeant in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a very cool story.
Oh, he's a no-nonsense guy, by the way, and he's a really good player.
Is there anybody on the staff here that could train to be in the FBI?
I think Al is undercover. I think Al's been undercover for a long time.
So Al would be the guy.
But he's with NASA. He's a NASA undercover guy.
NASA.
Because there are times where I don't think that he's from this world. I think that he's from somewhere else.
I wouldn't want to be on the front lines, but I could tell people what to do.
So you'd be like a sergeant?
Yes.
What do you think about
either that or he'd want to be in one of those boxes out in Nevada somewhere, you know, handling a drone over the Middle East?
Or I could be in the van where they tell people to go in for the bus.
So like intelligence.
On the walkie-talkie, I'd go now. Electronic gadgets that men would like.
That would be cool. And what about military training? Like, man, put Bobby into this. Me,
no, there's
Chris,
nobody. There's
Eddie,
nobody.
Al.
There's nobody here.
I'm not going to ask you if we could complete it. How long do you think we would last?
About 30 seconds.
Well, stop.
In SEAL training,
seconds.
Have you seen the SEAL training and stuff
training.
Like that? I mean,
I meant boot camp. I didn't say SEAL
boot
training.
Camp, no way. You guys in boot camp, there's no way.
You 30
and, you
seconds.
Know, and I'm not saying that it's the same, but you know, back in the day when there were 6 weeks of 2-a-days, it was almost like boot camp. You'd get up at 7 in the morning, you'd have breakfast, you'd be on the field until 11 o'clock, you'd have lunch, you'd be back on the field at 3 o'clock, you'd be in meetings. I mean, there's basically all 24 hours is accounted for.
Right.
And there's no screwing around or nothing. It was interesting. I was telling a story the other day about how the NFL, and this was the discussion with Ezekiel Elliott and all the stuff that he's been going through and everything, that the NFL used to, and I'm pretty sure they still do this, during training camp, they would have these setups for us. So back in the day, we would practice in Wilmington, and we'd all go to the bowling alley for beers at night because that was the only place to go to have any sort of interaction with the real people outside of just being around the football guys. So you'd go there, and then one night there'd be this beautiful girl there. And this beautiful girl would be making rounds and talking, and every guy would be hitting on her, trying to be with her, the whole thing else. The next morning, you'd wake up, and the NFL, we'd have a presentation from the NFL. And she would be up on stage telling everybody that she has AIDS.
Wow.
And she really did have AIDS. And it was like she just wanted the guys to know that this is what you're stepping into if you are not careful. And this was the advent of AIDS when it first hit. And they still do it to this day because they don't want the guys to get caught with, you know, with what's happening, like with Ezekiel Elliott. In his mind, he's being, you know, run up the flagpole. You know, in somebody else's mind, he may be a guy that is a victim, you know, domestic violence,
right?
A guy. So I would just say that it's the NFL is trying to do their best to educate these young players, especially now with the amount of money that they're making.
The problem is no one thinks it's going to happen to them.
Right, exactly. Let's go to Danny in West Islip. Danny, you're on. What's happening? Danny, you there?
Oh, Danny.
Going once. Danny, going twice.
Danny,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Danny, what do you got?
I don't think this is Danny.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So at the end of the Jet game and the Giant game, there's similar situations. And they were fourth and like 10 in the red zone, and
wow.
Okay, Danny, nice try. Let's go to Christian in Freehold. Christian, you're on. What's happening, brother?
Boomer, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well.
Jerry, I love the shirt.
Thank you, Christian.
Everybody likes the shirt. Yeah, I think so. It's getting a lot of compliments.
It's a good look.
Boomer, if the Jets go 0-16 and you have to put your GM hat on, who are we taking for a quarterback if we have the number one pick?
Assuming that Sam Darnold is coming out of USC, that's who I'm taking. I think he's a little bit more athletic. He is a, you know, his physical stature leads me to believe that he's more, you know, physically ready to be an NFL quarterback. This kid Josh Rosen, while he has an unbelievable personality, I just think that if Darnold's there, you take him. I think if Darnold's not there, then you're most likely probably going to take Rosen.
What if Darnold says he's not coming out?
That's what I'm saying. Then it would be Rosen, I would think. You know, you'd have to do an evaluation over, you know, the kid at Wyoming. It's hard to tell with the kid at Wyoming because they're playing against, you know, competition that's far superior than who he is playing with.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
If they don't get, let's say he stays in.
Yes.
And they don't love one of the other guys. Could you see them taking a second tier guy again in the second round and going better player available or best player available?
You know, the Jets are just competent enough that they actually might have play their way out of that first overall pick because there are other teams that are worse than the Jets, believe it or not. So, when you take a look at the Indianapolis Colts, if Andrew Luck doesn't come back,
they might not win a game.
Agreed. What about the San Francisco 49ers? Their defense is good,
yes,
but their offense is just non-existent.
Terrible. Right. So you could see them being a 1-2 win team. So there's a couple of candidates, and you think what you've seen in the first 2 weeks, the Jets might run into a win or two.
They could. I mean, to me, the Jets' offense looks somewhat competent. If they don't drop the punt or muff the punt on Oakland, I'm not saying they're going to beat Oakland. I never expected them to beat Oakland. I expected Oakland to beat them by at least 2 touchdowns to cover the spread and everything. But when you think about where they were this past weekend, and Josh McCown, to me, looks like he's more
than
competent.
A quarterback. Yeah, he looks like a professional
quarterback.
Exactly
why they brought him here.
No doubt. And they cut the kid, Khalif Raymond, who dropped that punt that you're talking about.
Well, muffed the punt. Yeah, that's right.
Muffed.
Let's go to Anthony in Branchville. Anthony, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to say, Jerry, you've stepped up really well in this whole situation, and I applaud your resiliency for this.
Thank you.
There's a couple of different points I wanted to bring up. I've been a lifelong Giants fan. I still have hope for the season. I'm not, throwing up the white flag already. But there's a couple different things that I wanted to bring up. One was I kind of feel like McAdoo taking over the play calling has set the offense back. When his job was just to be the offensive coordinator, the Giants were scoring almost 30 points a game. And their offensive line wasn't much better than it is right now.
Yeah, well, you know, that hasn't happened, though, in the last year and a half, though. And the one thing I will say about a head coach, if you're Todd Bowles, if you're Rex Ryan, you know, you're a coordinator. That's where you came from. That's your background. That's what you want to do. You want to still call those plays for that defense. Or if you're an offensive coach like Kyle Shanahan out in San Francisco, he's still calling the plays. I mean, the point being is that this is what they've lived for their entire life. So now they have the job. They're the ones that are deciding who does what and, you know, what their structure is for a coaching staff. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why you hire the guy in the first place, because he does have a valuable knowledge of one side of the ball.
But if you have guys, and I'm not even sure where the coordinators are for the Giants, I imagine they're in the booth, I would think. I'm not 100% sure. Why wouldn't you want to be focused in on everything and have the plays coming through you? And if you want to veto the play because you don't like it, that's one thing.
And I think that's probably what Bill Belichick does. Bill Belichick right. is basically in tune to McDaniels and Matt Patricia. He's more of a defensive coach than he is an offensive coach, but he has morphed his offense into the rules that they play by now, so he's always ahead of the game. And I'm sure that he is discussing both with both of his coordinators, especially at important times of the games when the games are close and what they want to do and what they're trying to accomplish.
Right, yes. This way he still has his stamp on the offense. It's McAdoo approved, but you've got someone else that is just focused on what the offense is doing.
I believe that. I believe that if you are the head coach, you need to be the head coach of everybody.
Right.
So you need to be able to discuss whatever is happening in the game with whatever part of the game or the part of your team is on the field. Special teams included, by the way.
Right.
So I do agree that there is something to having the coordinators have their jobs and doing their jobs while you're overseeing what they're doing. Because I know when he was brought here as the Giant offensive coordinator, Tom Coughlin said, okay, you're the offensive coordinator. You do your offensive stuff. I'll be the head coach of the entire team. I would like to think that most coaches would think that way, but I also know that most coaches just don't want to let go what they know best.
Well, this would be a good tweak for week three. It would be. You got to start making changes, and it can't just be the little things like starting Orleans Darkwah.
Well,
I mean, that can help.
Part of little things like that.
The play calling is a big part of it.
The other thing that will help is a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. That will definitely help.
Do you think him playing hurt at all? Or did you see anything that you were there? Did he get
any thought?
He looked
fine to me.
Yeah, I thought he did too.
But they also wanted to be really careful. They didn't want to put him out there for 65 plays. That's the other aspect. You know, when he's not on the field in third and first down, are you really truly worried about what the Giants offense is doing?
No, you can't be.
You're not. So that's why it will certainly help them if he can actually play three quarters to an entire game. And hopefully that will be the case for them this week against Philadelphia.
Could you imagine? I know we got a break in a second. Could you imagine that you talk about Ziggy Ansah? Okay, fine. The Detroit Lions defense, though, as a whole, a couple of nice players. Not, I don't think, a top defense in this league. What happens when they play a top defense in this league?
You mean the Giants?
The Cowboys aren't, and you agree.
Well,
you're going to find out
about the Lions this week because they host the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay,
so you'll find out about who they are as a defense this week. As far as the Giants are concerned, Philadelphia Eagles got a pretty good defense. They're a fast defense. They're going to get after you. Obviously, these two teams know each other really well, so there are no surprises in a game like this.
Right.
Plus, Carson Wentz is playing so much better.
So they put on the CBS Sports Network, put the schedule up.
They've got Denver.
In Denver, and then Seattle on back-to-back weeks.
You will find out pretty quickly
how
good this offense is getting, and maybe it will be different with a healthy Odell Beckham Jr., or you're going to find out pretty quickly if it's more than what we're talking about.
Season could get ugly quick.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Dare I say it, this could be the last year that Eli Manning is your starting quarterback here in New York.
That actually wouldn't shock me.
I'm telling you.
And you told me what the cap number I think would be that they would get hit with.
I think
would
it's
be
like
around,
it's about $13 million, somewhere around there. I think that they would want to move on.
If this continues this way and they have a Met-like season, when you look at the expectations, that wouldn't surprise me at all if we're looking at the last year of Eli Manning here. The question to me would be, where does he go from here?
Where do the Giants go for
a quarterback?
You know what? Well, they drafted one this past year, so you know,
better hope he's ready to play.
Well, you don't know. I mean, that's why they drafted a kid. But I also would say this to you. How about this little ditty? Let's say the Indianapolis Colts end up with the worst record in football and the Jets end up winning two games somehow and only have the third or fourth pick overall. All right? And Andrew Luck is available for a trade. Would you take him?
Is he healthy?
Well, I'm assuming he's going to be healthy, yeah.
And what's the price?
This would be so jet-lagged.
Of course.
Trade the first-round pick. The first-round pick next year. Get Lucky, plays three games. We never see him again.
Yeah.
How about that?
You have to make sure he's good. because if he can't play,
I'm not hearing anything or any of that stuff.
Oh, you're throwing it out there. I was
looking at this yesterday, saying, you know, if the Colts are really bad, and they've paid Andrew Luck a lot of money, there's also obviously salary cap implications regarding trades and all that other stuff you'd have to look at, you'd have to see. I know one thing, the Jets could afford it because they're going to have a lot of room under the salary cap. What's that?
They're not really paying anybody.
They're not. I know. But I'm just thinking.
It's interesting. I mean, sure, why not? But the only reason the Colts would be getting rid of him,
I know Jim Irsay out there loves Andrew Luck. They all love Andrew Luck. They all think he's a terrific player. I don't know what that is.
That's my fault. I'm looking up Luck's contract stuff, and one of the pop-ups came on.
Oh, nice.
I apologize for that.
Don't ever do that again, CeeLo.
Yeah.
We'll ever let that happen again in here.
Be out on the street in a hot second.
The last time you're in here.
That's right.
All right, here's
Mr. You know, starch shirt over here. We get really pissed off at you.
I don't get angry at anybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, brought to you by Bruni and Campisi Air Conditioning. Keep cool and visit BruniandCampisi.com. It's amazing that... We make fun. We say it's a starch shirt. It actually looks like it's hanging off for you. Can you get one that fits you? I mean, geez.
I've lost some weight, so you shut up.
Oh, all right.
It's fine.
I could probably stand to lose a couple pounds. Maybe you can turn me on to whatever you did to
it's
lose
all
some
good.
Weight.
And by the way, a lined shirt like that doesn't usually show well on TV.
But
kind
this
of more
one
raised
looks,
a little bit.
By the way, this one looks fantastic.
He looks good. I think he looks good.
Okay. My best look.
All right.
Better than looking you guys. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, Boomer's comfortable. I look like an idiot, apparently.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to stand out amongst all of you guys.
That's what happens when you're on TV, Chris.
All right, we'll make it 9 out of 11 for the Yankees.
Grounded wide, a first base hit. Right field in the first base hole. Ellsbury scores. Bird holds at second. It's a base hit. And an RBI for Gardner.
One of two game-tying hits for him as part of a 3-for-5 night at the plate. John Sterling at the fourth inning call here on the Fan. Aaron Judge would put the Yanks ahead for good with a sack fly in the fifth. Starlin Castro singled home a run in the sixth. And the Yanks went on to beat the Twins again 5-2. They moved 17 games over the 500 mark for the first time in 2 years. Opened up a 6-game lead over Minnesota for the second AL wildcard spot, but still 3 back of the first-place Red Sox, who outlasted the Orioles in 11 innings last night, 1-0. Gardner knows they could be closer to Boston.
When it gets to the end of the season, unfortunately, when you're a game or 2 games or 3 games back, you start thinking about games earlier in the season that maybe could have gone your way and didn't.
CC Sabathia limited the Twins to 1 run after they loaded the bases in the first, and then he stranded the bases loaded in the sixth, picked up his 12th win. He got 3 scoreless frames out of the bullpen, including save number 20 for Aroldis Chapman. Series finale this afternoon. It will be Luis Severino, opposed by Bartolo Colon. We'll have pregame on the Fan at 12:25.
Do you like this or you don't like it? With Severino.
You know, I understood why Joe Girardi was holding him back. But then again, after listening to Joe Girardi talk yesterday and then talk about how they have him now lined up for at least 3 more starts if they need him. And if that last game was for the division and they wanted to line him up for that one, then great. If not, then they could hold him and then they could put him in the wild card
pitches spot the next night.
Assuming that they don't win the division. But I like the way Joe was thinking yesterday. You know, nothing's set in stone yet. We're still going for the division. And I would say the way my team is playing, why wouldn't you believe that?
I agree.
And here was Girardi kind of explaining the thought process behind that move.
Our goal is still to win the division. We have clinched nothing at this point. We still have a lot of work to do in front of us.
11 games to go, but they are sitting comfortably in the wild card race. Can really put it out of reach by finishing off the sweep of Minnesota this afternoon.
Where do they go next? Do they play the Blue Jays at home, or is that away? Do you know?
Away.
I know the Blue Jays series is away. If that's the next one. Then
they
that
finish
is the
all
final
at home. They have a makeup against
the
Kansas
Royals.
City.
Yes. Yes, Eddie's on top of that. Look at that. He knows the Yankee schedule like the back of his hand. Meantime, A.J. Ramos melted down against his former team.
He gets here 10 after 3. He's got time.
Yes, a lot of time. Plus, he's got to do all the scheduling stuff, so he knows what's up.
Yes, continue.
So you had Ramos blowing the save against his former team and blowing it for his current team.
1-1. Line drive off the glove of Reyes. Here comes Anderson with the tying run. Lagares' throw is not in time, and the Marlins have tied it.
The ageless Ichiro Suzuki, the game-tying RBI single. Gary Cohen, the call on SNY. Ramos tagged for 3 runs on 5 hits and a walk in the ninth. The Marlins would force extras, and then JT Realmuto took Paul Sewald deep in the 10th for a 5-4 victory down in Miami. Ramos admits his emotions probably got the best of him.
Maybe I was a little too amped up today.
His first blown save since joining the Mets.
Of course.
Yes, of course. That's the way it goes. Jose Reyes, 4-for-5, homer and 2 RBI. guys. Travis d'Arnaud went deep as well. Ahmed Rosario still sidelined by a stomach
ailment.
Can
anybody hit more useless home runs than Travis d'Arnaud?
Yeah.
I hope for him this builds into something next year if he's, you know, still catching for
this team. You were saying that last year.
God, I guess. I mean, I don't know where else they're going.
And if Reyes sticks around, hopefully he can start the season the way he's ending the season. He's had a great second half.
It might be Plawecki. And maybe
I've read that too. That I guess they like him. He's coming on, and maybe he's finding himself.
He didn't come up and hit as well as they thought he was going to last year. But now, all of a sudden, he's starting to hit again, and he's starting to look like the guy that they thought would be the guy that would take this whole thing over before they went out and got Travis d'Arnaud.
No, we will see.
Want to get your votes on this. So Justin Upton hits a bomb of a home run against the Indians last night. Cleveland won, of course, though. Anyway, the ball takes one big bounce beyond the left center field wall, goes right into this giant Sherwin Williams paint can. It's supposed to be a $1 million promotion, but the Angels said it doesn't count.
No good.
Because it bounced in rather than going in on the fly. But it's a 10-foot-high can.
No.
So it's not easy. It might even be harder to bounce it in the can and get it in on the fly.
How big is the can? Is it an actual paint can or is it a giant?
It's a giant 10-foot paint can.
You have to fly it into the can. Mm.
That's what it says. You can't bounce into the can.
You have to hit a home run into the can. You don't have to bounce one in.
But how often do you see a ball go beyond the fence and bounce high enough off the grass, mind you, to land into a 10-foot can?
Doesn't
That's
kind of
cool.
Doesn't count. It is cool. Doesn't count.
All right. Boomer?
What?
Jerry voted.
Yeah, I vote against giving the $1 million, yes.
You vote against giving the $1 million.
Not a home run. Right. Not into,
it was
the,
a home
into
run.
The can.
The 444-foot home run.
It was a home run, but it didn't fly into the
can.
Don't they have the McDonald's zone in St. Louis where if you hit the Mac zone, everybody gets a Big Mac or something like that?
Well,
I mean, they have that too.
Big Mac versus cool $1 million is a little different.
Yeah, but everybody gets to enjoy
it. I'm just hoping for the Papa John's 3-goal pizza promotion for the Rangers again this year.
What are we turning into?
I don't know about the way the other day we were shooting a lot of shots on goal, but we only get one goal in overtime.
Listen, a win is a win.
I want
matter.
That three pizza or that 3-goal Papa John's pizza.
All right, well, we have that to look forward to in October. Now to the Giants, the day after conference call with Ben McAdoo, ugly loss to the Lions, leaving them in an 0-2 hole.
No excuses, but, you know, we got to find a way to get better, and we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
And certainly not throwing Eric Flowers out with the bathwater either.
It's not just one player making breakdowns. The breakdowns are spread out. And I'm included. Throw me in there.
He says they'll make some changes this week as they prep for Sunday's road game against the Eagles. Did not rule out giving up his play-calling duties as a way to spark the stagnant offense. Eli Manning with Mike here on The Fan yesterday. Everyone needs to step up.
I got to help the offensive line. Receivers got to help the offensive line and vice versa. Offensive line's got to help, help me help the receivers. It's a team. And we got to help out the defense.
Everyone's got to help.
Circle. We all love each other.
Yes, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and that's the way it has to be.
A lot of work to be done on a short week. As for the Jets, they waived return man Khalif Raymond. He muffed that punt in the loss to the Raiders last week, and that experiment did not work out. You'll likely get Jeremy Curley back in there for the home opener against the Dolphins. Speaking of Miami, they have suspended linebacker Lawrence Timmons indefinitely after he went AWOL prior to Sunday's road game against the Chargers.
Have you seen any details on it?
Just that Adam Gase is unsatisfied with the explanations he's gotten
so far. So that means he was out screwing around. That's what that means. And the other thing, he's going to cost himself about $60,000 per game in terms of his fines, and I think they can fine him and suspend him for four games only.
Yes.
And they do have the right to do that. And they can also ask for a portion of their signing bonus that they gave him back due to this. So he's got himself into some, you know, pretty hot water, and whatever he was doing, it was not satisfying the team.
Pretty stupid.
Yep.
Yes.
So the move to Miami hasn't worked out too well for him just yet. Let's do some NBA. Warrior star Kevin Durant with some egg on his face
This is unbelievable.
I don't understand it.
All right. So he says he doesn't have a separate Twitter account to debate with fans. He just went a little too far the other day talking about why he left the Thunder for Golden State.
I don't regret clapping back at anybody or talking to my fans on Twitter. I do regret using my former coach's name and that former organization that I played for. That was childish, that was idiotic, all those type of words. I regret doing that, and I apologize to him for doing that.
By the way, Kevin Durant right now I think is the best player in the NBA. He's better than LeBron. He's better than everybody in the NBA. And why he gets himself embroiled into these crazy Twitter beefs with fans and, you know, the Oklahoma City fans going after him and everything else, it's beyond me.
Because it's easy.
The guy makes $100 million a year.
Yeah, you think he'd have better things to do.
And he's a great personality. He's a fun guy. And I know that, you know, interacting with your fans on Twitter must be fun for him. But he also gets embroiled into the controversial ones where, you know, people in Oklahoma City are not happy with him.
Of course.
And then for him to take shots at Billy Donovan, I mean, really, it's childish and it's immature. Now, he said that himself. But, well, I'll tell you what, I just wish he would worry about basketball.
Yeah, well, that's his whole point yesterday.
He needs to be more focused in like Michael Beasley is these days.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Well, speaking of Michael Beasley, how about we get to that?
Focused in. He wants to be the best player in the NBA this year.
I hope he is for the Knicks fans.
So here's your boy, Michael Beasley, one of the newest members of the Knicks, certainly.
Michael Beasley should have went to the University of Maryland to play basketball, and he didn't. He went to, like, what, Kansas State or something?
Kansas State. He's a DC guy. So, yeah,
why didn't he go to Maryland?
I don't know. Maybe you can ask him that. Bring him in here and ask.
I'll tell you why.
All right, so here he is. Yesterday,
I can play with anybody, you know, so I'm not really worried about taking minutes or sharing minutes or anything like that, man.
How does he feel about his new home?
I mean, it's the mecca of basketball. If that doesn't excite you as a basketball player, man, what will?
And he's excited about playing with Boomer's guy, Carmelo Anthony, called him a mentor.
If you watch my game, like you really watch my game, my jab series and all that, I'm literally just Carmelo. On the left side.
Oh, so Carmelo,
so now we're going to
They're going to mirror each other on both sides of the floor. Yeah. And with all that out of the way.
By the way, Michael, Carmelo doesn't want to be here.
Right.
By,
yes.
The clock is ticking, by the way.
Well, he said if Melo does remain, that he's got some high expectations for the season.
I think we got the potential to be not only a playoff team, but a
5, 6,
18. Why stop? You know what? Here's the deal. I like the confidence and everything else. I kind of like what he's saying. He did say that, you know, he's going to practice hard. He's going to try to be the best player he can be. And he wants to,
good,
you know,
for him.
Lost
whatever
20
it takes.
Pounds, good diet, all that stuff.
Maybe he's reading the TB12 book.
Maybe.
Perhaps. You never know. But, you know, the whole Carmelo situation is still sitting and hanging out there. The other thing I do like is that, I guess Hornacek said no more triangle.
That's
so
gone.
We are now back to what Mike D'Antoni was trying to do here.
I'll bet you there'll be a fun team to watch up and down. I don't know how many games they win. I think there'll be a fun team to watch up and down the
Eastern Conference, maybe, you know, you got Cleveland, you got Boston, right? You got Washington.
Yep.
Those three teams are pretty good.
Toronto. Don't forget about Toronto.
So they may be fifth. There's no way. There's just no way.
Why not?
Especially if Carmelo is here. I just don't see it.
I don't see why not.
As long as they score some points, so Carmelo, probably not going to play a lot of defense.
Carmelo could not flourish in Mike D'Antoni's offense, although he wants to go there now with Chris Paul and James Harden.
Yes.
And this is exactly what they're going to be running here now.
But
they're
going to
be running an up-tempo, flying out of their zone offense.
If he wants out so bad, wouldn't it be best for him to actually go out and play some pretty good basketball?
Houston wants him. They just can't figure out a way to get
Houston
it
wants
to make
him,
it happen.
But they're not going to just do anything to get him.
He wants to go play with his buddies.
But
why do you think they were playing the other day in Manhattan?
But let me ask you this. If he comes out and plays like crap or looks disinterested, why would you trade for that?
Because it's the NBA. And NBA players rule the roost. They run the league. And you know that he would be charged up by going to Houston because it would be a different kind of expectation there.
How about this? The Knicks can't get anything for him. The whole Ryan Anderson thing. How about he goes out and plays his ass off? You do that for us, maybe the package gets better. Now we'll help you out. I mean, it's a win-win.
The package from Houston?
Whatever the case may be. Because right now, he's got one team and one team only.
Yeah.
So why does Houston have to do anything other than the minimum to get him?
But isn't it more about the contracts than it is what they're
putting
in
about that.
Now,
yes.
The other thing that the Knicks could do, but I don't think they'll do it, they could still buy him out. They could still buy the contract out and move him that way.
They've been against that.
And I know they don't want to do that. Well, they don't want to do that because they want to get something in return for Carmelo that's worth something to them, whether it be a draft choice or a reasonably priced contract or expiring contract or something like that that can match up. And who knows, you're going to need people a lot more creative than I am to come up with that answer.
But you would know something about leverage. You played in the NFL.
Sure.
The Knicks have none. None.
Yeah, because Phil Jackson gave him a no-trade clause.
Right. So
only way that they would have any leverage at all is if he were open to being traded anywhere. Now, you know, it sounds like Portland would love to have him, but he doesn't want to go to Portland.
My point is, if he goes out and shows that at his age, because you saw the 65th-ranked player, and you all ticked off about that. Come out and play like Carmelo Anthony, and now you have an asset again.
So you're going to tell me that Carmelo Anthony is going to want to go out there and get the ball in his hands and shoot 35 times so he gets his 25 points and then cost the Knicks even more games.
I'm saying he's got to play a better game with more energy and look the part. That's what I'm saying.
I think mentally the ship has sailed.
Still in the port.
No, but it's sailed as far as the Knicks are concerned. He's not on any of their season ticket literature or any of the promotional stuff.
Still on their roster, though.
He is in his mind ready to go to Houston to go play with Chris Paul and James Harden. You know those guys, all they've been doing is talking about this. So it's just a matter of time before he gets moved and gets out of the Knicks' hair so the Knicks can move forward with a younger group of guys and build around Kristaps Porzingis and Willie Herman Gomez.
We have been talking about this for months. Training camp starts next week.
Mark my words, it will happen.
You're probably right. It hasn't yet. That's all.
What else you got? Anything?
That's all for me, fellas.
That's it. Okay.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, morning 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Maybe Jim Kelly. Maybe Joe Montana, maybe Phil Sims.
Yeah.
And we got him on a boat.
Okay.
That allowed people
We did that on the Hornblower with Coach Cower last year.
How about a week-long cruise?
No, I'm not doing a week-long
cruise. With NFL legends.
No way. They already...
Esiason, Sims, Montana, Kelly, Marino.
Hocking my boat horn at all the hotties.
That's right, yeah.
Could you do that for a full week?
No.
Like the wrestling legends that Al pointed out this morning. There's a big cruise. Go for a week in the Caribbean.
Yeah, we used to have that. It used to be the NFLPA cruises and all that other stuff, and then they stopped them. Why? Because when you get out to a certain portion of the ocean, you could start gambling. And the NFL didn't want NFL players to be associated with that type of industry. And I get all that stuff. Yeah, but you could do a Ranger cruise.
Okay.
Know, with former great Rangers. You know, like Ron Gresham.
I want to know if you would do
the
cruise.
Things.
Would you go on
no,
the cruise?
No, I hate cruising. I hate it.
Buddy of mine does a morning show down in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he goes on cruises with the listeners. Like, it's the
yeah,
morning. Like,
we should love that.
We should do that here.
No, we're not doing that.
Duke's cruise.
We are not.
No.
Al, you and Jerry could do it.
A mornings a podcast with Boomer cruise.
I like that. And we could do the show live from the
yes.
cruise ship.
No, we're not doing that.
That would be a cool remote.
I couldn't imagine being on a cruise ship for like a week with the same people over and over. I mean, look. I'd end up throwing you overboard.
What did I do?
There's just no way.
That'd be fun, though. Those would be some fun shows.
So I know the wrestlers are doing that now. Is that what they're doing? And who are they doing it with? Is it like Norwegian or Carnival? Or
I'm not sure. I know Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is putting it together.
Okay.
And it's, you know, like, you know, older wrestlers who have been around and
sure.
people love
it's probably
to,
a nice thing to, for them yeah. to do and go out on a vacation
could
or whatever.
You realize
I'm not doing it.
How big your ego would get when you walk off that boat? You would be walking around like you're God for a week.
Boomer!
Hey, Boomer! What's up?
That would be like New Orleans all over again. We're walking down the street, and this monster head is above all the regular people. And you see Boomer walking towards the Superdome. And everybody's yelling. They're throwing beads at Boomer.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because people look at Boomer, as I've been in these situations with him, where they know him, and sometimes they're not sure where, but they see this like taller guy who looks... You know, he's got some star quality to him.
Absolutely. Stop, Jesus.
You don't look like an average person.
Right. So they'll look to be like, where do I know that guy?
The funny thing is, you get into the Uber car, right? And most of the Uber guys, you know, they're not from here. They're from somewhere else. And the fact that they actually listen to sports talk radio and they know, they may not know me by, you know, my name or they just know my voice. Like if I get in there and say, well, this is where I'm going to the garden or whatever. So you on the radio in the morning? Like that kind of thing, which is kind of cool, actually.
See that? This is what I'm talking about.
It's not a bad deal. Let's go to Shawnee out in Pine Bush. Shawnee, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Boomer. How you doing?
All right.
Good. So Lance kind of stole my thunder a little bit earlier, but I was calling about the Giants' offensive line and you know, making it more of a hurry-up offense. You know, I think that, you know, if the Giants can get that lead early, have that great defense hold that lead, you know, it might tire out that opposing D a little bit and actually let them establish a running game even later in the game.
Did you hear what Coach McAdoo said yesterday? They have no rhythm, right? Have I been saying that now
they
for 2 weeks?
They had rhythm on one drive.
They had rhythm on, well, they usually one drive. They had the one drive at the second half of the Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely.
That ended in a sack. Mm-hmm. They had a rhythm in the other drive yep. here against the Detroit Lions that ended up in
the delay game. Yep.
So, yeah, and this is a problem. I mean,
and don't forget the holding.
Yes, but it kind of all goes hand in hand with each other. But again, I keep telling you where the energy comes from. Now, maybe if they get Odell Beckham Jr. on the field
on.
And hopefully he's on the field for 65 plays, then I'm going to tell you they'll have energy. They'll have built-in energy.
How is the energy when he's hitting Jarrell Adams? How is the energy when he does hit Marshall down the sideline? How
it's
is
great.
The energy?
Awesome.
Right.
Great.
It was on that
terrific.
Drive.
Let's go to Shawnee and Vernon. Shawnee, what's up, man?
Dallas.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. What's up?
Boomer, I wanted to ask you, because you would know better than anybody, what would it be like to play quarterback in the NFL with a great offensive line and to play quarterback in the NFL with a horrible offensive line, which Eli deals with every play?
I wouldn't say he deals with it every play there, Sean. I think it's a little bit overreacting there. You know, when he threw the interception the other night, did he have time to throw the ball?
Yeah, that was a terrible throw.
But he had time to throw the ball. Now,
he did.
Now I also saw on ESPN, because I was sitting right next to their booth, and I also had the monitor in the booth with us at Westwood One, that John Gruden showed you a couple of times where he held on to the ball. Did he not?
Yeah, he did. Let me ask you real quick, though. Does it make a difference if you're constantly rushed, though? Don't you feel like you have to rush every play or you're going to get hit?
Yeah, there's a compound effect that takes place. There's no question about it. And I thought, didn't you think watching the Cowboy game the first week that he was playing way too fast?
I thought so, yeah.
And, you know, you have to play
with... But I also noticed, I saw him make an adjustment in the first quarter of the last game where I felt like when he said, I need to play better, I could do other things to be better. I felt like he did that. I felt like he made an adjustment. He started stepping into his throws.
Yep.
He felt the pocket around him. He was adjusting to the pocket. I thought he played better. There was a couple plays I thought he did poorly with the bad interception and then the phantom tackler. That was a terrible play.
That was bad. And he does
do
that, though.
Other than that, I thought he played a pretty good game. I thought...
And Shawnee's right, because there were a couple drop passes. There's no question about it. And that one little series where he threw the in cut to Brandon Marshall, he stepped right into it and he whistled it right down the right side. He had Adams right in the numbers. He had a nice play action pass for the initial touchdown pass to Evan Ingram.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good things that you
like. Also had a pass play to Ingram that could have been a touchdown.
And he also had a nice pass to Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
Yeah, Darius Slay made a great play
on
Ingram.
But it's a good throw,
just a great defensive play, but it was a good throw.
Absolutely.
But that's why you want to see more. You want to see more consistency. You want to see, you know, you don't want to have those bad moments. And bad moments are either taking sacks when you shouldn't be taking a sack or throwing an interception at the wrong... Look, throwing an interception is never the right thing to do, but if there could be a time where you don't want to throw an interception, is right after your defense just made a great stop and got the ball back for you.
Clearly, they went down and scored. You're 100%
so,
right, I know.
I would just say that I would imagine that there's a genuine uncomfortableness around the Giants over there now at their Quest Diagnostic Center, and the reason for that is because they're not living up to their expectations. And everybody's on edge. There is no question about that.
No one would have ever thought,
let's go to Jonesy in Connecticut. Jonesy, what's happening?
Hey, what week are we going to start talking about Geno?
I brought it up.
All right, what would you like to say about Geno?
Geno is better than Eli. Eli even sucks in Madden.
Oh, jeez. Come on. But to his point, This was what I said to you at 6:15 or whatever. I'm not saying Geno with an offensive line that is broken, and I think we all agree this offensive line, until it gets better, is broken. You need somebody that has some sort of escapability. Eli is not that guy. He's not. He's never going to be. He's 36. He's not getting younger.
Right.
So you don't have that wall in front of you. You need a guy like Stafford who can make things happen with his feet.
All right. So I don't care if it's Geno or anybody else, and I'm not picking on Geno here because I don't want him blasting me on Twitter for whatever reason. But you know, here's the thing: Eli Manning is the face of the franchise. And he will be as long as he's here in that uniform. He will be the face of the franchise. So they're not going to bench Eli Manning in the middle of the season. And I don't care who it is sitting behind him. It's just not happening. So forget that. Even forget that thought process, because it doesn't compute for the present situation.
I'll tell you what, though. They don't win a few more games.
Yeah.
You're going to start thinking something else.
Well, let's go to Louie in Port Jefferson. Louie, what's happening?
Hey, morning, Boomer, Jerry.
Hey, yep.
Guys make a great team. Been listening to you for many years, actually, since you started.
Thank you.
Anyhow, I just got four quick points I'd like to get your opinion on, because our conversation could last for an hour. Number one is McAdoo to Gola. They changed it to West Coast offense,
right?
Eli trying with the quick throws instead of in the back. Beckham's been nothing but a heartache. He's a great player. Great reception, good receiver, the whole nine yards. For the last 2 years, he's got too full of himself and created a lot of issues. This year, his fourth year of his contract, I should say, a damaged so-called ankle, where I feel he's going to pick his shots, where he's going to be playing against the soft defenses, which is not going to attack him and try and put him out of the game. Because he wants to protect himself for the next contract. Or if the last 4 years, where you said it's been fruitless, is they don't have any running game. Eli can't do any play action, which is one of his fortes. There's no backs coming out of the backfield that can take a reception.
Well,
more acceptable as one receiver when you had Cruz and the group of receivers, all three, and he had to play action. Eli lit it up and did what he was supposed to do. Interceptions were down. Touchdowns were up.
And he was also a younger player, too, by the
way. He was, yep.
The one thing I will say is Shane Vereen can catch with anybody out of the backfield. Which we brought up as well. A little bit wrong there. And, again, it has to be a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. because if he's not healthy, he's not 100%, and he's not on the field, they're a completely different team because Eli's not the energy. He's just not the guy that's driving all of it, even though he's paid to be that guy. That's just not who he is.
By him coming back, meaning Beckham, let's say he's 75%, 80%, whatever.
He's more than that. He's better than that.
You think he's better than that?
Yes.
So you ever think he'll get to 100% this year as
he
plays through it?
He may not. These things kind of hang with you, and would I be surprised if the next game somebody's going after his ankle and trying to hurt him again? I would not be surprised by that.
And that would be a disaster.
And that would be a disaster, especially given who they're going to be playing in the future weeks and the defenses that they're going to be seeing. And remember, the one thing I will say about the NFL is that for some reason, and I think I know why the reason is, but the points are down thus far 2 weeks into this season significantly, and the sacks are up.
Why?
Because of the athleticism of the defensive ends and the outside linebackers and how fast they are and how defensive coordinators are changing some of their schemes. But when you see like a Ziggy Ansah against a Eric Flowers, you got a major problem. That is a major, major advantage for the defense. And that player basically can disrupt, one or two or three series a game. And when you do that, and when that does happen, most often your team is going to lose the football game. And that's exactly what happened with the Giants.
Yep.
Don't you think?
Exactly right.
Listen to Boomer Esiason, mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Moment of the day!
And Jerry Recco with a random Viagra mention earlier, and that led to this.
That's fine. The moment was gone. We're all good.
Okay.
Right? It's like Viagra. When the moment hits you or strikes, the moment was gone. So,
have you ever taken a Viagra pill?
No, I have not.
Al, how about you?
I've not, no.
No. Eddie, you have.
No, I have not.
I would be afraid if you took it, the effects wouldn't wear away.
You don't think so?
No, I'd be worried that they would just stay. It would stay the way it is.
Blood would rush from your head.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
Boner.
All right, I got it.
I guess Jerry missed the commercials where they warn you what to do after 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I think hospital or something.
Yeah, exactly. You go to the hospital.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Check in at the hospital.
By the way,
what's the problem, sir? This.
But the fact that someone would need to be, I know they have to cover themselves legally, but you would think common sense
in.
After 4 hours, hey, eventually it's going to go away. Hello.
And it doesn't.
Go get
and
it checked
you walk
out.
In with that. Yeah. I'm good.
Hey.
Well, that makes some people happy, Jerry.
That's what you get.
I suppose so.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.